Hallelujah. How's everybody? Are you blessed and highly flavored? Amen, because we're the salt. Amen. It stings too, if you know the truth. You know, the most powerful thing, the greatest weapon for me and you is worship. You know, God ambushes your enemies. And more, when we're out in the world, you know, we're trying to look for fulfillment in everything. That's why people turn to drugs, alcohol, pornography, and all the other things. Because they're looking for a fulfillment. In fact, they're trying to find out who they really are. And they're looking for a restored ID. Who am I? Why am I here? Where am I going? Amen? And it's the presence of God. When I had my visitation, it was his presence I realized I was looking for in all those hundreds of thousands of dollars of cocaine I snorted. I probably snorted American Airlines. But when you really think about this, I mean, it was God's presence that we were looking for and didn't know until there was a tangible contact of God's presence. And it was like, whoa, it's you I'm looking for. It's you. You're my fulfillment. And he's been my fulfillment ever since. It doesn't mean we can't have things. It doesn't mean we can't do things, but we don't want anything to get between you and him. Then it becomes an idol. And that's what we're seeing right now, so many idols. But what's happening with all these individuals that have things between them and God? There's consequences. Everyone say consequences. Yeah. And right now we are seeing a tremendous amount of consequences being released. And God is making a way of escape for people. We're not here by coincidence. We're here because God sent us here. There's probably a lot of people that should be here that are refusing to come. Amen. But, you know, they got to work out their own salvation, don't they? But why work it out? Let him work it out. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Would you grab your swords and go to Galatians chapter 6. Verse 7. Hallelujah. Let's speak it together. Do not be what? Do not be what? Oh, come on, man. Don't be what? Deceived. Don't take a picture saying it. Deceived. You know, when people say, what is it they say to take a picture? Cheese. We don't say cheese. We say Jesus. Amen. Don't get cheesy. Do not be deceived. Satan's greatest weapon is what? Deception. And his power is fear. If he can, because what's he do? He deceives you to fall in the place of fear. Then he's got control on you. Lust. What is lust? It's actually fear. It's living under satanic torment. Amen? And you're living under satanic torment as an addict of anything, whatever it is. Jesus said, deny yourself daily. Pick up the cross and follow. Some people's idols are themselves. And it's all about them, not about Jesus. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever man sows, that he will also what? Reap. Nobody gets away with it. We may think we got away with it, but we didn't. It's been recorded. Angels took note. It's all recorded. Nobody gets away with nothing. And then there's consequences, what you thought you got away with. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those of the household of faith. This is so powerful because so many people don't realize this. See, this is a law of sowing and reaping. These are consequences. The consequences are reward or chastening of God. You're going to either be rewarded or you're going to be chastened. You're going to get promoted or demoted. Those are consequences. So it's important that we begin to see things through. In other words, every decision you're going to make, we need to see it through. We should know the end result of everything we do, everything we choose. Does everybody understand it? Knowing whether it's good or bad. We don't go into a place because we're not supposed to be living in assumption. We're not supposed to assume things. That's what gets people in trouble. Well, I assume this. Well, you did wrong. Amen. We all got in trouble for assuming. God is the God of fact and truth. He's not about assumption or wishing. Amen. What you sow is what you reap. That's it. What you speak is what you eat. What you think is what you become. All of those are spiritual laws with consequences of life. Every day, you and I. The enemy's always trying to bring a thing in of our path of life to where a consequence becomes bad instead of good. Psalm 1. But you're not going to recognize these things if you're not filled with the Spirit of God, if you're not connected to the presence of God. You're going to live a life of assumption and false hope. A lot of maybes or wannabes. Well, if I would have done this, maybe this would have happened. You know, that's called, we don't want to live in a life of guilt because those are the things of the past. And the enemy always wants to bring you to your past of all the things you did wrong and all the consequences that you received. But God's given everyone an opportunity. We are in what we call the 10 days of awe. The 10 days of awe are between the Feast of Trumpets and the Feast of Atonement. And it's a time to repent. It's a time for self-examination. All the things that we've done that have offended God. Whether on purpose or not on purpose. Hopefully not on purpose. Mistakes that we've made. Choices that we've made. Because most of the mistakes we made were choices. Amen? Things that we said we shouldn't have said, or things that we, whatever it is. It's a time to reflect. It's a time to forgive. It's a time to repent. But there are consequences still. You know, even when you repent for your sins and transgressions and iniquities, there's still reaping to do. But God says something very powerful. All things will work to the good to those who love him. So no, even your reaping is going to be a part of your training to get you into a higher level. But you got to be willing to go through it. You got to be willing to take the consequences. Not blame everybody else for your stuff. Amen? We take our consequences. We accept them, and the Lord takes care of them. He takes care of you. He uses it for training. Remember when King David blew it, God gave him three choices. And he says, I'd rather fall in the hands of the Lord than my enemies. And there were consequences. Psalm 1, verse 1, let's speak it. Blessed is the what? The man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor seats in the seat of the scornful. He says, blessed are those who don't do these things. But his delight is in the law, or in the word of God. And in his law, he what? Meditates day and night. In other words, he focuses on it. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall what? Prosper. Praise God. Consequences. Prosperity. But the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment or in the rewards, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall what? Perish. So the godly will prosper, the ungodly will perish. It's that simple. That's the consequence of it. Unless someone does what? Repents and turns from that way. Jeremiah 17. Hallelujah. Remember on the Feast of Trumpets, it was the first time that 100 priests got together and threw the shofar, blew the shofars in Israel. We just had so many events that have just happened. A full lunar eclipse with a red moon. All of these events have been in September. Charlie Kirk got killed, got murdered, assassinated. He was martyred, but he was a forerunner of the Lord. He was known as a voice in the wilderness, like John the Baptist. All of these things have come to pass right now. Prophetic words and prophecies are being fulfilled all over the world. Our military is now entering every state. They just had a big meeting with all the generals. In fact, they told them to tighten up. They put them on diets. No more fat generals. They told them we want a healthy army. And if you can't deal with it, then quit. Retire. Things are happening. Why is our military in all the going in all the states? Because what they're about to do, especially when they start arresting Obama and all the other Obamaites, and all the Democrats and all the ones that are in corrupt and treason and everything else, assassinators, murderers, extortioners, blackmailers, all of them, all those that hold seats and positions of authority, all these congressmen and congresswomen and senators and all of them that are corrupt, they're going down. No one's getting away with it. They're going to find out about the consequences. They just arrested Comey. Who's the head of the FBI? He's arrested now. I think they treated him too good and gave him an opportunity to turn himself in instead of raiding his house and looking at what he had. But those individuals are going to be taken care of also. Bondi and her assistant. These people are not right. Even though they seem to be right. They have a big talk, but they're not doing what they're supposed to do. And the world is waiting for the dismantlement of the Antichrist regime, the deep state, and the corruption. The world has been waiting for these moments. So we are watching consequences. In Jeremiah 17, verse 5. Let's speak it, please. Thus says the Lord, curses a man who trusts in man, makes his flesh strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub in a desert and shall not see when good comes. He's going to miss it. But shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes. Its leaves will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, consequences of what? Rewards or chastening? According to the fruit of his doings. Wow. Cursed or blessed? Cursed, no favor. Blessed, favor. 3 John. Consequences of life. No one said life was going to be easy. Just because you become a Christian, you ain't tiptoeing through the tulips. Glory. 3 John, let's speak at verse 2. Beloved, I pray that you may what? Prosper in all things. Prosper in everything you do. Everybody want to prosper in everything you do? Praise God. And be in what? That's good health. Amen? Just as your soul what? Prosper. So your soul must prosper. What does he mean by your soul prospering? Your mind, your will, your emotions, your imagination, your conscience, subconscious, attitude, motive, and desires must align with the will of God. In other words, his word. For I rejoice greatly when brethren came to and testified of the truth that is in you. Just as you walk in the truth, I have no greater joy than to see, to hear that my children walk in the truth. Wow. Your soul must prosper. In other words, it must grow, mature. It must learn. And it must align with the words of God. Now remember, your mind is associated with your thoughts. Your will is associated with your choices. And your emotions are associated with your feelings. So we can't live a life where feelings dictate our choices. That's where people get into trouble. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 9, the Lord said that he will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his way. What are his commandments now? His word of God, the promises of God. Then all peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord. They shall be afraid of you, and the Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body, increase of your living livestock, and in the produce of your ground, in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you his great good treasures, the heavens, to give rain to the land in its seasons, and to bless all the work of your hands. I think everybody in here would like that. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. Hallelujah. You shall be above only and not beneath. If you what? If you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them, so you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day, to the right or to the left, to go after other gods or to serve them. But it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. So either you'll be blessed or you'll be cursed. Amen? Those are consequences. Cursed you shall be in the city, and cursed you shall be in the country. Cursed shall you be in your basket, your kneading bowl. Cursed, in other words, curse is associated with lack also. Lack, because you don't have the favor of God. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body and the produce of your land, the increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flocks. Cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will send on you cursing, confusion, and rebuke in all that you set your hand to do, until you are destroyed and until you perish quickly because of the wickedness of your doings in which you have forsaken me, says the Lord. Well, now we know that this is Old Testament. Thank God for Jesus' blood that we can repent. Amen. So when a devil comes to you and starts proclaiming to you all the crap you did, you can proclaim to him, it's covered by the blood. Amen. I'm under the blood. Why? Because when you repent, you activate the blood of Jesus. Everybody okay? So obey or disobey. You're either God's voice. You're either cursed or you're blessed. And when you break covenant with God, you bring a curse not only on yourself, but your family. That's called inherited curses. It's a transgression. So all of us have inherited curses from our family line until they're broken off. Jesus broke the curse of death, life, and the grave, but you must break the rest of them. Amen. It's up to God's life and death in the power of the tongue. You must break the curses off. Every one of us, in some way or another, had somewhere in a family line that was an addict. Whatever. Pornography, I don't care what it was, alcohol, whatever. That curse came down to me and you. It's amazing. My brother was an addict. He went to college and all kinds of stuff. He was a good boy. I wasn't. I was a heathen from get-go. And I did everything possible I could. I wanted to retire quickly by the age of 24. I got busted with the largest drug bust in Western New York, and I retired by going to life to prison. But God made a way to get me out and turn my life around, and he did. And I'm forever in debt to him. Not that he wants me to be in debt, but I am. I owe him everything. I got new life. I got a new wife. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hebrews 3. I don't serve him because of debt. I serve him because I love him. He's the greatest dad you could ever have. Hebrew 3. And I love his presence. God's presence must be everything to me and you. Hebrews 3, in verse 7, please. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. In the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me and tried me and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we what? Hold on the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. It's not always how you begin, it's how you end. And remember, who you serve when you die is where you go. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in rebellion. Harden heart. You either refuse to hear or you're willing to hear. Amen? How many times did we refuse to hear even from someone else trying to rescue our blessed assurance? Ephesians 2, verse 1, let's speak it. And you, he what? Made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked according to the course of this world. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh, of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together in Christ Jesus, and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in the Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved. Now what is grace? God's plan of escape. Amen. Through faith, that not by yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Wow. In the course of this world, we were known as children of wrath. But through God and his mercy, he rescued our butts, placed us in heavenly places. And now we're more than conquerors. I know we look in the mirror and it doesn't look like that sometimes. But don't let the mirror dictate who you really are. Amen? Because it lies. And if it speaks, bust it and throw it out. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Let's speak it. Do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it. But he who does the will of God does what? Abides forever. Abide, little children, is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. They would have continued, but they went out that they might be what? Made manifest that none of them were of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Wow. Those that do the will of God abide forever. They that don't, don't. They'll become history and not history makers. Romans chapter 1. Consequences of life. You know, that still small voice that comes to you every once in a while and says, don't shake that person's hands. They're sick. Was that you, Lord? Oh. And then you get sick. Or you're not upkeeping your body or your immune system up and you easily get sick. That's a consequence. There's consequences to every choice you and I make, either good or bad. Doesn't matter. Hallelujah. Romans 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. The wrath of disobedience of God. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service or your responsibility. And do not be what? Conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind or your thoughts, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Renewing your thoughts is essential. What you're doing, you're lining your thoughts up with the words of God. His promises is in covenant. That allows you to live from the future to the present and not from the past to the present. We want to live a life that is heaven-bound. So when you align your thoughts and your soul up with the promises of God and his word, you begin to live from the future to the present. And everything of the present gets melted, diminished, dissolved, dismantled. All the things that you struggled with are gone. And the more you make that exchange, the more you get free. This isn't 12 steps. It's one step. Obey all the way through. The word grace, again, means God's plan of escape. So if you cooperate with the plan, you will escape everything that the enemy puts against you. Even the things you've inherited, those will be diminished and dissolved. Amen. Oh, happy days. 1 Peter chapter 5. Okay. Verse 5. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, which is what? Alert. Be vigilant, which means consistent. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. So you know what? You're not the only one going through it. Everybody's got something they got to go through. And when you go through that, you got to go through something else. Welcome to the earth. Consequences of life. We go through one thing, to another, to another, to another. We're always dealing with ourselves and dealing with other people. We're dealing with the world and all the consequences of the world. We've not escaped it, but we go through it. Amen. Matthew 7, verse 13. Glory. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who what? Who find it. Not everybody's willing to pay the price. Deny yourself, pick up the cross and follow. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing. But inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree, which means spirit, bears good fruit, or human. But a bad tree, or spirit, bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear fruit, good fruit, is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. What's their fruits? Their words, their character. Their responses, they're either reactors or responders. Some of them are nuclear reactors, but, you know, people who live in fear and bondage and stuff like that. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Because they were doing things behind closed doors. Oh, they had a form of godliness. They had a beautiful ministry too. But they were fornicators. They were liars. They were thieves. Bribery. Or they used people. Or they mishandle the gifts of the Spirit, and I've seen that happen. I've seen some of these so-called evangelists misuse the gifts of the Spirit to charge people for it. They played what we call the sorcerer, the medium, but using the gifts of the Spirit. Therefore, verse 24, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I liken him to be a wise man who built his house on a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock, which is the anointing of God. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it fell, and great was his fall. Wow. So we need to repent, don't we? Amen. Oh, repent. Turn away from sin. Remember, we are in a time of 10 days of awe. Ephesians 6. Consequences of life. Jesus came to bring me a new life and life abundantly. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy it. So if you find that you're losing things and people things are being destroyed in your life, somebody's got access. It's called the devil. Amen. Other than that, we should be blessed and highly favored. Ephesians 6. And it doesn't mean that we don't go through stuff, right? Not everything's going to be perfectly. You're going to have to go through trials and tribulations. Why? Because it's all testing. This is just not, earth is nothing but a testing ground for eternal. God is preparing you for something greater. I know we all want it now. Let's get that greater now, man. Haven't we been prepared enough? But he says he loves the death of his saints, so praise God. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. How many people do you know that are called Christians, they don't know anything about getting dressed with the full armor of God? And they get their butt kicked all the time. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. They don't even know that. But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. And it tells you how to put on the whole armor of God. That's something we do every single morning. Put on your armor. Why? You're in a battle. And if you're not in the battle, you'll become a casualty. I'm going to close at Acts 3. Verse 18. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of his prophets that the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of the restoration of things, which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. So what's he saying? Repent. Why? So that when you can get on God's presence, you can be refreshed. Again, everybody's struggle is a lack of God's presence. We struggle because we don't have enough of his presence. And we thirst and hunger for more of his presence. It's his presence that's everything. Everything. And without his presence, we're nothing. That's why we must worship. What's the Bible say? The word says that the Father looks for true worshipers. You want to get God's attention? Become a true worshiper. Amen. So, Lord, we give you glory, honor, and praise. We thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. We ask that you protect the seed that's been imparted and let it grow and bear fruit for your glory and bring to remembrance the consequences of life that we can see things through of every choice we make in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.